John chapter 15 from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. In our passage today, Jesus and his disciples have just left their Passover meal. This Passover meal is a celebration, a joyful reminder of the God who rescued his people from Egypt and who will restore his people again through the Messiah. This is a celebration that they take part in every year, and yet for Jesus' disciples, this had not been the joyous meal they had expected. In fact, it had been a disruptive meal, a disjointed meal, a meal that left them feeling uncertain and uprooted. I mean, think about the things they've heard in the past two chapters, chapter 13 and 14, which we've talked about the last 2 weeks. In chapter 13, Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part in me." Then he says, "He who has shared my bread has turned against me. Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Then he says, "I will only be with you a little longer. Where I am going, you cannot come." And then to Peter at the end of chapter 13, he says, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me three times." Then in chapter 14, Jesus says, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore." And then ends with, "The prince of this world is coming." And in the midst of all that, Jesus also gets down and washes the feet of his disciples. I mean, you can imagine that the disciples feel rather uprooted by all of this. This was not what they expected. This was not what they had hoped for. This was not how their life was supposed to go. Everything in their lives is being turned upside down. This isn't what they thought the Messiah would do. And so in the midst of their feelings of being uprooted and uncertain, Jesus paints for them a beautiful picture. Picture of a beautiful, flourishing, growing, fruitful vineyard. A new Garden of Eden. A vibrant garden. A nourishing and thirst-quenching crop. A crop that bears significant fruit, a crop in which Jesus himself is the vine and the Father is the gardener. And Jesus tells them that no matter what is going on around you, remember that you are a part of this beautiful garden. In fact, you are the branches, the fruit bearers of this garden, this vineyard. But know that you don't have to do it on your own because you have a vine that you're connected to. A vine who will nourish you and sustain you and give you life. And more than that, you have a gardener who loves you and cares for you and will nurture you and clean you and help you to bear fruit. Because you are a part of the garden of God. You are a part of the kingdom of God, and your job is to bear fruit that will bless and feed the world. And you do it by being connected to the vine and by trusting the gardener. This story that Jesus tells of a vine and its branches is told in the context of feeling uprooted. I think that's the story of the past few days for most of us. On Wednesday night, I was using my iPad when suddenly the alert started popping up over top of the word puzzle that I was doing. Now, there's not too many things that I have alerts turned on my phone, but basketball is one of them. And so I found out about this through basketball. First, on Wednesday night, the NCAA tournament was being played, and they had no fans attending in the stadiums. Then an alert popped up that an NBA game had been called off right before it was about to start. And then the NBA announced that it was suspending all of its games for the season, so I went online to see what was happening, and then I saw the U.S. canceling flights from Europe, and it started to feel like the whole world was being uprooted. Like things that were once certain are no longer certain. Like things that were safe are no longer safe. Since then, it's only gotten more uncertain. I mean, it's as if the strikes in schools and the blockades that stop trains are a distant memory now, even though those are still places of uncertainty. I wonder if you feel uprooted at the moment. I wonder if you feel like it's hard to know what to grab onto and what to trust and what to believe. There's so much going on right now that is uprooting our lives and the lives of the people who are around us. Our schools and our libraries are closed. There are travelers who are rushing to get home from their trips. People are beginning to distance themselves from each other. I mean, if we can't depend on our local stores to have toilet paper, then who can we depend on? I think that there are many of us at this moment in time who feel a lot like the disciples as they walked with Jesus away from the meal in the upper room, like they didn't know which way was up and they were not sure what the future held and they were not sure who they should follow. And so into their uprootedness and into ours, Jesus speaks the story of a gardener and his vine and its branches. And Jesus speaks about the way that those three work together. And what Jesus makes clear in his telling of the story is that in the metaphor of a vine and its branches, the goal of those branches is to bear fruit. Much fruit, verse 5 and 8 tell us. Good fruit, tasty fruit, nourishing fruit. Because a hungry and broken world needs fruit. And we are the ones who bear that fruit for them. What Scripture makes clear to us is that the fruit that we will produce is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. I mean, in this uprooted world, aren't those fruit the things that are needed so much right now? We live in a world that is in need of people who will show love in places of loneliness. People who will share joy in places of sadness. People who will show peace in places of fear. People who will bring patience in places of worry. Goodness and kindness in places of blame and accusation. Faithfulness and gentleness in places of hurry and uncertainty, and people who will bring self-control in places of hoarding and panic buying. See, these are the fruit that are produced by the branches that are connected to the vine who is Jesus. We are people who are connected to the vine, and so these are the fruit that should characterize our lives, both in seasons of normality and in seasons of uncertainty. This is the fruit that we're called to produce, but the good news is that there is a gardener, And it is the gardener who helps us to produce that fruit. And the gardener is Jesus' Father, who we heard last week in John 14. Karen talked about how the Father looks a lot like Jesus. So this passage tells us that the gardener has a role to play in producing fruit in our lives, and that we have a role to play in producing fruit in our lives. See, the gardener's job is to prune the branches, or if you're in your Bible, you'll probably see a footnote next to the word prune that says the word translated prune could also be translated clean. The gardener's job is to clean or prune the branches, and our job, Jesus says, is to remain or to abide. See, I think for most of us, we hear pruning and we start to worry. See, we hear these voices out there who might say that pruning means that God sends things like viruses in order to make us better Christians. And to that we say, that's not what God is like. That's not how God works, and that's not what pruning means here at all. You see, pruning is about removing the things in our lives that get in the way of the best things. Think about marriage as an example. Before we're married, there's a lot of people in the world that we can date, that we can be in relationship with. As long as they agree and we agree, we can be in relationships with a lot of different people at different times. But when we choose to get married, what we're doing is we're saying no to all those other people in order to say yes to one person. And we believe that that's normal and right. My grandfather in New Zealand was a farmer, but he was also an exceptional rugby player. When he was young, he was very good at rugby, and family members of his were trialists for the New Zealand national team, and he was better than them, and they thought that he would become a national rugby player for New Zealand, which in New Zealand is a significant goal to aim for. Yet when my grandfather got married, he had a family, and he had his farming, and he had his rugby, and he decided that he couldn't provide for all three well. And so he stepped aside from playing rugby in order to focus on his farming and his family. It's been said that in order to be more present to God, we have to be less present to other things. See, there's things in all of our lives that get in the way of the best things, and sometimes those things are sins, things that we do that go against what God would have us do, and we need to get rid of those things. Those things need to be pruned from our lives. Our lives need to be cleaned up to get rid of those things. But sometimes it's not sins, it's things that are priorities. We make things priorities that are not the things God wants us to make priorities, and so God wants to clean or prune those things out of our lives so that our priorities would be in line with His priorities. Or sometimes it's the things that make us busier than we should be. We fill our time with things that make us busy in order that we don't have time for the things that God would say are important. You see, in order to be more present to God, we have to be less present to other things in our lives. You see, when we talk about this kind of cleaning or pruning, when that happens in our lives, our instinct so often is to run, to get away, because we don't want anyone pruning or cleaning up our lives. Or if we don't run, then our instinct is to reject and to try and to hold on to all the things that we want, even if they're things that are bad for us. We don't like someone else telling us what should be important in our lives, so we reject or we run is our natural instinct. But Jesus says, don't run and don't reject. Instead, you need to remain. Jesus tells us that the most important thing for us to do is to remain, to trust that being connected to Jesus is the only way to the life that we were made for, the only way to the truth of who we are and who God is. So Jesus says, don't run from God the gardener at work in your life. Remain, stay, trust, endure, be present, abide. Stay connected to Jesus and trust the gardener at work in your life. Let go of the things that are holding you back and give yourself fully to the God who produces fruit in your life. because the world around us needs that fruit now more than ever. Let the fruit God wants to produce in you nourish a hungry and thirsty world. This is the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to grow in your life. See, in verse 9 of John 15, what we're told is that this fruit is the fruit that begins with love. See, the fruit of the Spirit are 9 fruits. And a couple of years ago, we did a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And what we talked about is most scholars would say that there are actually 8 fruit, all of which are characteristics of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, which is joyful and peaceful and patient and kind. Love which is good. Love which is faithful and gentle. Love which has self-control. See, the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that begins with love. And so in the year 250 AD, Christians were subject to an empire-wide persecution, which involved many Christians being killed and other Christians turning away from their faith, and there was chaos in the church. And then in 251, the emperor died and the persecution ended with it. But not long after that, a new enemy arrived. The plague came. Most likely measles, scholars would say. And all the wealthy people decided when the plague arrived that they needed to get out of town. And so they began to leave town and move to the fresh air of the countryside, where they were less likely to get the plague. Yet what's interesting is that the Christians responded differently. They got together and they decided that this was the time to be known by love. Love for their enemies, love for those who had persecuted them. They decided that their reputation was on the line. And so instead of fleeing to the countryside, they stayed. And they cared for the sick. They nursed people back to health. They looked after people. Some of them, as they got infected, eventually became immune to the disease. So they could help people. And the Christians responded with love. And people around them started to see this. And the story's told of a pagan aristocrat who walks into a store, and he's a wealthy guy, and he hears these Christians talking, and the language they use is actually the title of the article that I got this from. And he walks in and hears these people talking, and what they're saying is the Christians alone know the right way to live. The Christians alone know the right way to live. Imagine if that were what was said of us. See, we are called to be the people known by love, both in calm and in crisis. In March breaks that are spent in the Caribbean and March breaks that are spent wrestling with the coronavirus. This is the fruit that God wants to produce in our lives. And this fruit comes when we are connected to the vine who is Jesus. The passage ends in the verses we read earlier. Let me read the last 2 verses to you from the Voice translation. Jesus says, "I orchestrated all of this so that you would be sent out and bear great and perpetual fruit. This is my command to you. Love one another." This is our invitation, to love one another. Even as we engage in social distancing, love one another. Even as we begin to isolate in our homes and neighborhoods, love one another. One thing we believe deeply here is that the church is not a building, but a people. So whether we continue to gather here over the next few weeks or not, we continue to be the church. We continue to be those who love one another. We do that by sharing what we have. We can do that by calling people, by texting or emailing to check in with people and to see how they are doing. We can do that by giving ourselves to know others and to be known by others, even if we're not hugging or shaking hands or sharing meals with people. We are still the people who love one another. See, we don't love one another just because it's some good idea that we thought up. We love one another because there is a gardener who is at work in us, who is at work making us into the people that we were made to be. And beyond the gardener, there is a vine who wants us to be connected to him so that his life can be put into us and can give us life. And that vine is Jesus. This week, when I was thinking about this metaphor of vines and branches, the best parallel that I could come up with for us was Christmas lights or fairy lights. We have some on the stage behind us today. See, when you take a string of Christmas lights or fairy lights, you have all these lights hanging on a cord. And they all have this ability to produce light. But it can only happen, the light is only produced when the cord is plugged in to the power. I learned a little bit about French this week. I learned French for the first time in my life this week. And what's interesting is that the French have a verb that means to plug. When you plug Christmas lights in, that to plug. The verb that means to plug is brancher. Forgive my pronunciation. Brancher, like branch, where we get the word branch from, is to plug, like a branch, like a vine. See, when these strings of lights are plugged in, they produce the most beautiful light that shines brightly in the midst of darkness. Yet when they're not plugged in, they just look like a piece of string, capable of so much more, but unable to be what they were made to be, unless they're plugged into the power that brings the light. You see, that's true for us when we think about what it means that we are branches who need to be plugged into the vine in order that we would bear fruit. Today, I wonder who the people are in your life that you would love to be plugged into Jesus. I wonder who the people are that you know who are facing the challenges we're walking through at the moment without the hope that we know is found in Jesus. Over the next few minutes, we're going to sing, and as we do that, I want to invite you to come up to the front, and there's tables either side with pieces of paper and pens, and I invite you to come up to the front and write a name on a piece of paper, a name of somebody that you would love to be connected to Jesus, someone that you would love to know the hope that is found in Jesus, and I invite you to come up the front where we've got our vines, our fairy lights, and to peg it, that name, on the vine of lights at the front. There's lots of pens available. I invite you to take one, use it, and then drop it in the bin underneath so that you don't share what you have with other people. There's lots of pieces of paper. There's lots of pegs at the front. See, we want to pray this morning for the people in your lives who don't know Jesus. And by putting their names on the vine, we give those names to Jesus. And then I'm going to come up at the end of our songs, and I'm going to pray. Pray for those people as we conclude our worship, and then we'll have our benediction. So I invite you this morning to come and to bring the names of those who you would love to be connected to Jesus. Let's pray for these names this morning. Jesus, we thank you for every name that is hanging on that vine. We believe that every person up there is a person who you know and who you love, a person who you created and formed and put together. And we pray, Jesus, for every one of them. We thank you for the relationships they have with people in this church. And we pray that you would foster those relationships and form those relationships, because we believe that you can share Jesus with people best when you're in relationship with them. So we ask, Jesus, that you would nurture those relationships. We ask, Spirit, that you would be at work in the lives of every person listed up the front and every person on the minds of the people who listen to this when they listen to the recording. And Jesus, for all of those names, we entrust them to you. We ask that you would surround them with your care and your love. We ask that you would be at work in their lives, blessing them and nurturing them. We pray, Jesus, that you would open up opportunities to share your love with them. And when those opportunities come, that we would grab hold of them with grace as we share your love with people. Jesus, it is our desire that every person there would be in relationship with you. And so we pray that you would bring that to fruition. In Jesus' name, amen. by way of benediction this morning. I think we are people who are used to being able to fix things. We're used to being able to solve things, or at least having the freedom to try to fix things. Yet this coronavirus has us in a season where all we can do is wait. And so let me read to you from a commentary that I was reading this week, its conclusion to this passage. The commentary says this: let it sink in that we are not gardeners, but branches. We are not the creators or authors of our lives and ministries. We do not own or control the successes or failures. We are not responsible for knowing how everything is going to work out in the end. We are called, first and last, simply to abide. And so whatever happens tomorrow, or this week, or next Sunday, may we be the people who abide in Jesus. May we be the people who offer the fruit of the Spirit to those that we know. May we be people who trust the God who loves us. Go in peace, knowing that you are loved. Amen.